Imagine opening, you know, a brand new million-dollar physical storefront right in the busiest part of town. You lock the front door to the public, you board up half the windows, and then for some weird reason, you hide the cash register up inside the ceiling tiles.
Right, which sounds completely insane.
Exactly. I mean, you would never do that in the physical world. It sounds completely absurd. But structurally speaking, that is, that's the exact scenario. Thousands of businesses are unknowingly forcing their customers to navigate on their websites every single day.
Oh, absolutely. Every single day.
You look at your business's homepage and you think, well, the logo looks great and the brand colors are popping. But beneath the surface, the architecture might be secretly hemorrhaging leads, you know?
Okay.
It's actively driving your customers straight into the arms of your competitors.
It's basically the ultimate blind spot for leadership teams. I mean, they treat the company website like this this static digital brochure that you just print once, leave on a counter somewhere, and completely forget about.
Yeah.
But in reality, a modern website is a living, breathing engine for business growth. It's a 24/7 salesperson, right? And the failure to recognize when that engine is, you know, actively restricting your revenue, well, it's one of the most common and expensive mistakes a business can make.
Okay, let's unpack this. Welcome to this custom-tailored deep dive designed specifically for you. Our mission today is to kind of cut through all that aesthetic noise and figure out exactly how to diagnose a structurally failing website.
Right, we're getting into the mechanics.
Exactly. We're pulling insights from a really analytical source today. It's the Strategic Guide to Website Redesign Success, and that's produced by the Digital Engineering and Strategy team at Credify.
Which is a fantastic resource, by the way.
It really is. So we are going to explore the underlying mechanics of why sites fail, uncover why businesses usually initiate redesigns for, well, entirely the wrong reasons, and we'll reveal the rigorous pre-launch protocol that prevents you from accidentally, you know, incinerating your own search engine rankings overnight.
Yeah, that SEO loss is a nightmare scenario. And the Credify guide is particularly valuable here because it completely bypasses the superficial advice you usually hear online. I mean, they've analyzed data from over 1,300 project audits.
Wow, 1,300. That's a massive sample size.
It's huge. And they've distilled the actual difference between a site that merely looks good and a site that actually functions as a conversion machine.
Mm.
But to even begin this conversation, we have to strip away the terminology confusion between a website refresh and a redesign.
Right.
Because a lot of budget gets totally wasted when a company confuses those two things.
Okay, so a refresh is purely cosmetic, right? Like you're swapping out the CSS, maybe updating the typography,
yeah,
making the brand colors a bit more cohesive across your landing pages.
Exactly.
Yeah. It changes the visual layer, but the underlying system, the actual code, remains entirely untouched. It's like putting a fresh coat of paint and some new throw pillows in a house.
That covers the refresh perfectly. A redesign, though, is fundamentally different. A true redesign is a complete infrastructural overhaul. You know, you're migrating server environments, you're resolving years of compounded tech debt, restructuring the database.
You're ripping out the drywall because the plumbing is leaking and the foundation is crap.
Yes, you are rebuilding the user navigation logic from scratch. You're basically replacing the plumbing and the electrical systems because the current architecture just cannot handle the voltage of your business operations anymore.
Which means we can, I guess, throw the traditional age metric completely out the window, right?
Yeah.
If people always ask if there's an expiration date stamped on the back of their code.
Oh, all the time.
You constantly hear this industry rule of thumb that a website needs to be completely overhauled every, like, 2 to 5 years. But if we're talking about underlying infrastructure, the chronological age of the code seems like a pretty terrible metric to base a massive capital expenditure on.
It is a terrible metric. I mean, performance and stale dictate the timeline, never age. What's fascinating here is that you can have a site architected, say, 18 months ago that looks incredibly sleek.
Right. Visually gorgeous.
Exactly. Yet it completely underperforms because it's just loaded with unnecessary JavaScript, the user pathways are broken, and it lacks the scalability to even integrate with your new CRM.
Yeah.
Conversely, you could have a minimalist, brilliantly coded site from 4 years ago that might still be converting perfectly.
And the timeline for a redesign depends heavily on the velocity of your specific industry, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you're operating a software as a service company, those platforms evolve at breakneck speed.
Oh, absolutely.
The products are constantly updating, and user expectations in the tech space are being recalibrated, like, almost monthly. That requires a hyper-agile approach to your digital presence.
That continuous iteration is vital. SaaS companies simply cannot afford to let their digital architecture stagnate.
Right. And the same goes for e-commerce, but on an entirely different scale. I mean, an e-commerce site isn't a digital brochure at all. It's basically a high-frequency trading floor where a millisecond of lag actively burns cash.
Yes, every millisecond matters.
Every tiny bit of friction in a checkout process directly translates to abandoned carts and lost revenue. Now, if you run a local brick-and-mortar operation, like a logistics firm or a specialized dental practice, you might not need that relentless, massive structural turnover.
True.
But you are still bound by the laws of modern user experience and speed. The only question that really matters is whether the underlying technology of the site is actively accelerating your growth or throttling it.
Exactly. And to answer that question, we have to move past simply asking if the site looks old. We have to actually trace the anatomy of a lost customer.
Okay, let's trace it.
So when we look at the behavioral data in the Credofi guide, we can track the exact journey of friction that causes users to abandon a site. And the very first barrier they hit is the subconscious trust evaluation.
Let's walk through that gauntlet. So the user clicks a link, and within milliseconds, their brain is scanning for credibility.
Right.
Even if your company provides literally the best service in your sector, if the user lands on a page with inconsistent padding, misaligned elements, and this cluttered layout that looks like it was built a decade ago, cognitive dissonance kicks in.
Instantly.
The user's brain subconsciously translates cluttered, outdated interface directly into unprofessional, outdated business operations.
And that initial trust deficit is almost impossible to recover from. I mean, the guide highlights a fascinating case study involving a London-based property investment firm called Flambard Williams.
Oh yeah, the property investment space is brutal.
It is. In that high-stakes world, institutional trust is the only currency that matters. So Credofi didn't just update their colors. They executed a full structural redesign to synchronize the company's digital presence with their actual real-world expertise. And by simply eliminating that initial cognitive dissonance and presenting an architecture that mirrored their authority, Flambard Williams saw a staggering 438% improvement in the return on investment.
438%. That's insane. It just proves how much money is left on the table when your digital front door doesn't match the quality of the building inside.
Right.
But let's say this site passes that initial visual trust test on a nice big desktop monitor in your office. The next barrier in the gauntlet is mobile architecture, which brings us to a massive fundamental shift in how the internet actually works. I mean, we hear mobile first all the time, but Google literally uses mobile first indexing now.
Yes. And this is a critical mechanical detail that so many marketing teams still misunderstand. Mobile first indexing means Google's primary crawler acts as a smartphone agent. So it does not matter how breathtaking your desktop site is. If the document, object, model, the DOM does not collapse and scale properly for a mobile screen, or if your buttons are, you know, positioned too closely together for a human thumb to tap them, Google flags the site as a poor experience.
So basically, if your mobile layout is a disaster, Google penalizes the entire domain's search ranking, including the desktop version. You essentially become invisible.
Invisible, exactly. The algorithm prioritizes core web vitals, which measure things like cumulative layout shift, meaning, you know, does the page jump around while it loads?
Right, when you go to tap something and it moves. So frustrating.
The worst. And it also measures first input delay. So if the mobile architecture is flawed, your organic visibility evaporates. And that friction compounds immediately into the third barrier in our user journey, which is the speed wall.
The 3-second rule.
Yes. The 3-second rule.
Yeah.
If the browser takes longer than 3 seconds to render the visual page, the user just bounces back to the search results.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, because I want to push back on the solution to this speed problem.
Okay, go for it.
If my analytics show that users are bouncing because the page takes 5 seconds to load, my instinct is to look for a quick fix. Like, can I just run my massive hero images through a compression tool, maybe delete a couple of old blog posts, turn off a caching plugin, and just call it a day? Why on earth do I need to authorize a massive ground-up structural redesign just to make a web page load a little faster?
Well, the instinct to look for the quick fix is completely natural, but it ignores the underlying mechanics of how a browser actually renders a website.
Okay.
Yes, compressing a massive image file will shave off some load time, but in the vast majority of the technical audits Credify runs on failing sites, the chronic slowness is deeply systemic. It's rarely just an oversized JPEG.
So we're talking about the invisible bloat in the back end.
We are talking about render blocking resources.
Mm.
Every single time a business adds a new WordPress plugin to solve a temporary problem, that plugin injects its own JavaScript and CSS files into the site's header. Oh, I see.
So when a user tries to visit the page, their browser has to stop loading the visual elements you actually want them to see and meticulously read all of that invisible code first. It creates this massive synchronous traffic jam.
And over several years, you have different developers come in, they add their own plugins, write custom scripts on top of old scripts to try and patch things up. It creates a towering house of cards, basically built out of digital duct tape.
Exactly. The technical debt becomes totally insurmountable. Your server environments might be outdated, your database queries might be incredibly inefficient, and your DOM size becomes so bloated that even the fastest internet connection cannot force the page to render quickly.
Wow.
At a certain point, you just cannot optimize the duct tape anymore. The foundational architecture is fundamentally broken, and achieving the kind of lightning-fast scalability that modern users demand requires ripping it out to the studs and starting over. Okay, let's assume you do that. You rip it down to the studs, you build a sleek, headless architecture. The site loads in a blistering 1 second. It scales perfectly on the newest smartphone. Traffic is flooding through the digital front doors. But your sales team is sitting around looking at an empty inbox. You have solved the structural friction, but you still aren't generating any leads.
Right. And this brings us to the invisible ROI killers. This is arguably the most frustrating scenario for business owners. I mean, they look at their analytics dashboard, they see a massive spike in unique visitors, but the conversion rate is absolutely flatlined.
Yeah.
The users aren't submitting inquiry forms, they aren't booking software demos, and they definitely aren't completing the checkout process.
The traffic is there, but the conversion architecture is completely broken. Usually, this just comes down to friction at the point of action, right? Your calls to action might be buried at the bottom of a massive wall of text. Or, even more commonly, the contact forms demand an absurd amount of unnecessary data.
Oh, the forms are the worst.
Right. If someone just wants to download a white paper or book a 15-minute discovery call, you do not need to force them to manually type in their company's physical mailing address and a fax number.
Yeah, making a user work that hard to give you their information is just a guaranteed bounce. Beyond form friction, though, the failure to convert is often tied to a profound lack of trust signals right at the moment of decision.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if a user is about to enter their credit card information or commit to a massive enterprise contract, and the page lacks authoritative testimonials, secure payment badges, or clear data privacy assurances, they will hesitate and they'll leave.
Which flows directly into the most fascinating psychological barrier the guide covers. They call it the navigation ego trap.
Yes, this is so common.
When Credify runs session recordings and heat maps, where you can actually watch a playback of where a user moves their mouse and where they click, they frequently see users scrolling wildly, clicking back and forth between menus, and ultimately just abandoning the session in sheer frustration.
Yeah, and the reason this happens is that businesses almost universally structure their websites based on how they think internally rather than how the user actually behaves.
It's the most common cognitive blind spot in corporate web design. The leadership team insists on organizing the main navigation menu by their internal departmental silos, right? Or they label their services using this proprietary industry jargon that sounds amazing in a boardroom.
But means absolutely nothing to a prospective client who is just trying to solve a specific problem.
Exactly. It's literally exactly like walking into a massive grocery store.
Yeah.
But instead of the aisles being organized logically by produce, dairy, and meats, which aligns with the mental model of how shoppers actually navigate a store, the aisles are organized by the store manager's internal preferences.
That's a great analogy.
So you walk in and find an aisle labeled items Steve likes to eat on Tuesdays and another aisle labeled high margin Q3 strategic initiatives. You would never be able to find a gallon of milk. You'd drop your basket and leave the store immediately.
That analogy perfectly illustrates the concept of cognitive load. I mean, when you force a prospective customer to learn your internal organizational chart and decipher your proprietary jargon just to figure out what you sell, you are exhausting their cognitive resources.
Right.
They won't do the work. They will simply click the back button and find a competitor whose navigation aligns with their natural problem-solving process.
And if you extrapolate that rigid internal-facing structure out over a few years, it inevitably turns into a massive scaling nightmare, which is the final phase of a failing site. The business naturally evolves. You rebrand, you launch new service lines, you target entirely new demographics, but the website is still aggressively communicating who you were 3 years ago.
Yes. The digital presence becomes completely decoupled from the reality of the business operations. And because of that compounded technical debt we discussed earlier, the marketing team becomes totally paralyzed.
Yeah, they can't even make simple updates.
Exactly. The CMS environment is so brittle and convoluted that even attempting to add a new team member to the About Us page or, you know, spinning up a simple landing page for a new ad campaign requires submitting a ticket to the development team because it breaks the formatting of the entire site.
The website morphs from a growth asset into a hostage situation.
Yeah.
Your marketing team is literally terrified to touch the back-end architecture.
Precisely.
Okay, we have thoroughly diagnosed the pathology of a failing site.
Okay,
we've covered the cosmetic trust deficit, the technical penalties of poor mobile architecture, the invisible bloat of render blocking code, the conversion friction, and the navigation ego trap.
That's a lot of friction.
It is. But before you, the listener, immediately call an agency to burn your current domain to the ground, let's take a strategic pause. Because there are absolutely times when a full redesign is a terrible, wasteful idea.
Yes. That nuance is vital because structural redesigns are incredibly resource intensive.
Yep.
If your site architecture is technically sound and your organic traffic is steadily growing, but your conversion rate is lagging, you do not need to tear out the database. You likely just need a targeted conversion rate optimization campaign.
Okay.
You might need to rigorously A/B test the copywriting on your landing pages, streamline the checkout flow, or maybe just implement a targeted visual refresh to modernize the typography and bring the aesthetic into the current year.
So definitely do not initiate a massive capital project just because the CEO is personally bored of looking at the same hero image.
Please don't. The objective is never to redesign for the sake of novelty. I mean, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the sole purpose of a redesign is strictly to eliminate the structural barriers that are mathematically limiting your business growth.
Okay.
However, if the diagnostic data confirms that you do suffer from foundational rot, if you're trapped in that brittle CMS, penalized by core web vitals, and losing users in the navigation maze, delaying the inevitable is the most expensive choice you can make.
The cost of delay compounds relentlessly. I mean, it isn't just about the opportunity cost of the leads you were missing today.
Right, the operational overhead skyrockets. Your engineering team ends up wasting hundreds of hours patching plugin conflicts and maintaining obsolete server environments instead of building new revenue-generating features.
And security, right?
Oh, yeah. Security vulnerabilities multiply exponentially when you run unsupported legacy software. By the time the pain becomes so acute that you are literally forced to redesign, the project is no longer a strategic growth initiative. It becomes a panicked emergency rescue operation, which is always exponentially more stressful and expensive.
So let's transition to the execution phase. The listener has analyzed the data, they recognize the systemic failures, and they know a full structural redesign is mandatory. How do they navigate that transition without accidentally destroying the traffic and the revenue streams they currently rely on?
This is where things get really delicate.
Yeah, the Critify guide outlines a strict do not break it pre-launch protocol, and it begins with auditing your analytics to identify and protect your current assets.
Right, because even a fundamentally broken website usually has a handful of high-performing assets.
Like what?
Well, there might be a specific blog post that drives massive organic traffic, or a particular landing page that consistently converts at a high rate.
Okay, yeah.
The very first step of any intelligent redesign is to map the analytics, isolate those winning elements, and heavily protect them during the rebuild. The goal of a redesign is to elevate your baseline performance, not reset it to zero.
Which leads us to the most terrifying and honestly consistently overlooked aspect of a full redesign, preserving your search engine optimization.
Oh, this is so crucial.
I cannot emphasize the gravity of this enough. When you are migrating to a new architecture, if you mishandle your URL structures, strip out your metadata, and break your internal linking hierarchy, you will lose your organic search visibility instantly.
Instantly. It's gone.
You can launch a beautifully architected lightning fast site on a Monday, and on Tuesday, your analytics dashboard flatlines because Google has completely lost the map to your content.
It is a devastating scenario, and it happens constantly because development teams get entirely consumed by the visual front end and treat the data migration as an afterthought.
Right.
This requires meticulous mapping. You have to audit every single URL on the legacy site and determine its fate. Is it being migrated exactly as is? Is the content being consolidated into a new pillar page? Or is it outdated content that needs to be permanently trashed?
And for every single page that changes location or gets removed, you have to execute precise 301 redirects. You basically have to tell the search engine crawlers exactly where the new content lives.
Exactly.
If you just let those old URLs turn into 404 error pages, you don't just lose the page itself. You sever the arteries of your SEO. You instantly bleed out all the link equity and domain authority that those pages spent years accumulating from external backlinks.
Yeah, you are throwing away years of compounded digital equity. Mapping those redirects preserves the crawl budget and ensures that both the search algorithms and your human users never hit a dead end during the transition.
From a logistical standpoint, though, what kind of timeline and resource allocation does this entire process require?
It scales dramatically with the complexity of the data structure. So for a relatively straightforward business-to-business site, assuming the content migration is minimal, you're looking at a timeline of maybe 2 to 4 weeks and an investment of a few thousand dollars.
Okay, that's not too bad.
But if you are engineering a massive enterprise platform dealing with complex e-commerce databases or, you know, executing a sprawling content migration with thousands of redirects, that timeline easily expands to 1 to 3 months and requires a significantly larger capital investment.
Because you are simultaneously acting as an architect, a plumber, and an electrician, that complexity is exactly why the guide mentions that Credify, having executed over 1,300 of these structural overhauls, offers a free one-on-one strategic consultation. Before a business allocates a single dollar to development, they can get an objective expert analysis of their analytics and architecture to determine if they actually need a structural rebuild or just a targeted optimization campaign.
Which is huge. Having an external engineering team validate your diagnostic data is an incredibly strategic first step. It basically prevents you from guessing with your capital.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? It means that your website is not a static poster. It is a complex mechanical system. You cannot wait until the engine is actively seizing up to realize you have a maintenance problem?
No, you can't.
You have to constantly audit the user journey to ensure the experience is frictionless. If the data dictates that you need to rebuild the architecture, you must protect your accumulated SEO equity with absolute ruthlessness during the migration. And ultimately, your digital infrastructure must actively reflect where your business is going, not serve as an archive of where you were 3 years ago.
I think that evolution of the website raises a really critical question for the future, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. I want to leave you with a concept that builds on everything we've discussed today about friction and user behavior. Search algorithms are currently undergoing a massive paradigm shift. Search engines are aggressively integrating artificial intelligence to answer user queries directly on the search results page.
Right, the AI overviews.
Exactly. The top-of-funnel information is being delivered without the user ever needing to click a link. So if a user bypasses that AI overview and actively chooses to click through to your domain, they are no longer looking for basic commoditized information.
Because the chatbot already gave them that.
Precisely. They are clicking through because they are seeking an interactive, authoritative experience that they literally cannot get from a language model.
Wow. That fundamentally changes the purpose of the site.
It changes everything. If the historical job of a website was simply to provide information, how radically does your digital architecture need to evolve when its new mandate is to provide an unforgettable, frictionless experience?
Mm-hmm.
It ceases to be a digital brochure and must become a fully immersive environment.
That completely raises the bar for what digital architecture needs to accomplish in the next 5 years. That is a massive concept to mull over.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the mechanics of digital redesign. Keep optimizing, keep interrogating your own systems, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.